my listeners. I'm on maternity leave right now, but I wanted to share an excerpt from an upcoming romance novel that I think you might really enjoy. It's called The Ark, and it's by Tori Henwood Hone. The Ark is a smart, high-concept love story that asks, is it possible to optimize our most intimate relationships? I won't spoil much more of the plot, but if you find yourself frustrated with online dating or curious about how technology can change our romantic relationships, this is the novel for you. If you like the excerpt, you can find The Ark at your local bookstore, Amazon, or wherever you buy your books.
Wait, you threw up on him? Asked Issa, her eyes wide. In the taxi? Not on him, Ursula said. But next to him, yes. Using her straw, she created a violent whirlpool in her green juice, which had been listed as self-compassion nectar on the menu. She leaned forward to take a sip, but the foamy liquid got lodged halfway up the straw. She leaned back, then tried sucking once more. Unsuccessful again. I'm glad they don't have plastic straws here because I don't want sea turtles getting them stuck up their noses, but this thing doesn't work. The straw was made from avocado husks, which she knew because there was a sign on the counter that read, Finally, avocado husks are here, with a colorful arrow pointing to a ceramic mug of beige straws. For some reason, the mug had breasts. Issa watched as Ursula struggled with the straw for a few more seconds before plucking it out of her nectar and flinging it to the far side of the round, marble-topped table. Always so dramatic, observed Issa. I'm not dramatic, grunted Ursula, closing her gray-green eyes. I'm deathly hungover. I noticed that, said Issa gently. Ursula looked like a sapped, feral version of her normally vibrant self, and her hair was even wilder than usual. A voluminous cloud of honey blonde waves that fell around her shoulders. It recalled the look of a particular babysitter that Ursula had worshipped as a child, whose hair took up substantial space and whose bangs appeared to defy gravity. Ursula remembered aspiring to that fluffy volume throughout her childhood. But by the time she entered high school in 1997, straightening had become de rigueur, and she woke up every morning to fastidiously iron her hair. It wasn't until college that she began to re-embrace its natural chaos. Now, her hair distinguished her from the many women intent on taming their natural texture. She enjoyed feeling like a wild-maned lion in a sea of slick seals. Issa once told her she looked like a combination of Kim Basinger from Batman and a tumbleweed, and Ursula rather liked this comparison. What happened? Asked Issa. No judgment, but why did you vomit on a first date? I don't know, Ursula wailed, rubbing the bridge of her nose, where a spray of freckles had reemerged now that it was June. I guess I hadn't eaten enough. Yeah, I hadn't eaten anything since noon, and we went to this wine bar in Harlem where it turned out his friend was the bartender, so the drinks were just flowing, and James weighs like 250 pounds. He has that former football player body, you know? Like he used to be really muscular and rock-like, and now he's softer, but he can still absorb an infinite amount of alcohol. Whereas you're a wiry little whippet, said Issa. I guess I am. Anyway, it was really fun. I have no idea how much I drank. We were just talking and making out, and then we got in a car to head downtown, which was fine for about 15 minutes. Totally fine. But then an evil demon overtook me. The evil demon known as drinking a gallon of wine on an empty stomach, said Issa. That's the one. How did James respond? He was really nice about it, said Ursula, feeling a simmer of shame. That's a good sign. I don't know. I just don't think we're going to build an enduring relationship on a foundation of puke, said Ursula, leaning back in her chair and tugging at the velvet scrunchie she wore around her wrist. Maybe not, said Issa, recentering the gold pyramid that hung on a long, thin chain around her neck. Whereas Ursula's outer appearance often mirrored her ever-shifting inner state, there was a consistency about Issa's look, no matter how she felt on any given day. Her straight black hair hung symmetrically, and her short, blunt bangs framed her smooth forehead, giving her face an organized look. A Upon meeting her, no one was ever surprised to learn that she was an architect. She looked the part. Even her ear piercings, four on each side, provided a sense of balance and intention. Though she often wore bronze-colored eyeliner to bring out the golden flecks in her dark brown irises, today she was makeup-free. What happened with the Lebanese guy? Issa asked.
I don't know. Maybe mutual ambivalence, said Ursula, taking a sip directly from the glass that left her with a green foam mustache.
After our fourth date, neither of us followed up. I think he might have moved back to Beirut.
Said
Issa, using a napkin to brush Ursula's upper lip. And what about that really sweet guy, the veterinarian?
Really bad square-toed shoes, said Ursula, shaking her head and placing her hand over her mouth in horror.
Oof, that's rough, Issa winced. But you broke up with him over that?
Ursula shot her a confrontational gaze and held it until Issa relented.
Fine. We can draw the line at square-toed shoes. That's fair. He also had that newly divorced energy, you know, said Ursula.
Issa didn't know because she'd never dated a divorced man.
It's like, you know, before the start of the Kentucky Derby, when the horses are all hyped up and they're in their little starting pens, and they're so full of fervor and anticipation.
It's like that. These men shoot out of their marriages like horses out of the starting gate. The longer the marriage was, the more aggressively they shoot out. And then they careen all over the racetrack, trying to assess where they fit in the pack.
The racetrack of dating?
Yes. They careen all over the racetrack of dating, and the next few minutes are anyone's guess. Some crash, some burn out, and a few straighten out and then end up doing well. But when you encounter one of these horses right out of the gate, watch out. They're way too excited and completely unpredictable.
So a newly divorced man has the fervor of a racehorse.
Exactly. It can be overwhelming.
Maybe this veterinarian racehorse was just excited because he liked you, suggested Issa.
Ew, said Ursula, suddenly disgusted. She didn't want to think about that particular man ever again. You know, I'm barely attracted to anyone, even if they're great. Almost everything turns me off these days. I'm pretty much only interested in men who are speaking an indecipherable language that I have no chance of understanding. Like Icelandic. It's like I don't even want to engage anymore. I just want to project something onto them and then never find out what they're actually like. Ever. Yes, that's it. I want to date an Icelandic man who promises to never speak a word of English. I think that might work.
Healthy, said Issa. Wait, what about Virginia's friend? Didn't she set you up with him?
Ugh, the worst. He was one of those guys who starts every other sentence with, "Look," said Ursula, switching to her bro voice. "Look, you've got to think about it like this. Look, in my industry, look, I'm a dipshit." Issa laughed. Ursula made a convincing tech bro.
Or was she a finance bro?
"Did I tell you about Nicole, the shark?" asked Ursula.
Issa shook her head, her glossy hair sweeping her collarbone. She would have remembered Nicole the shark.
"Well, I saw a documentary last week," said Ursula, "about a great white shark named Nicole. She lived in the waters off Cape Town, but every year she would disappear for 9 months. This isn't normal behavior for a female shark, and the scientists who were observing her had no idea where she went, so they eventually put a tracking device on her. It turns out, she went to Australia to find love. She didn't like the local South African sharks, so every year she swam the 12,000-mile round trip just to mate with a higher caliber foreign shark. Then she would come home, relax, and do it all again the next year.
So we're going to Australia to find you a mate? Asked Issa.
We probably should.
But that sounds exhausting, said Ursula, massaging her own temples in slow circles. It's okay. I've slipped into a state of ambivalence, acceptance, maybe even peace. I don't need a partner. I'm doing fine. I'm good at my job. I have friends.
Too many friends, actually. I should get rid of some.
And Mallory keeps me weirdly busy. A cat can only keep you so busy, said Issa.
She needs more attention than you'd think.
Their eyes met, and Ursula laughed,
burying her forehead into her crossed forearms. After a moment, she sat up and tapped on the surface of the table. I like this marble. It's very cooling on the face. The lounge was outfitted with 10 such tables, each accented with a brushed bronze ring around the edge. White Carrara marble and rose gold dominated the palette at The Stake, the Nouveau Feminist Wellness Club where she and Issa convened as often as their schedules allowed, usually once or twice a month. Ursula had joined 2.5 years ago at the insistence of her then-boyfriend Sean's sister, Hannah, who was an early investor in the enterprise. It's a space for modern women to cleanse their psyches and manifest their most audacious goals, unfettered by male influence, Hannah had explained. But it's more than just a community. It's a movement. Ursula, whose expertise was in brand strategy, had noticed a lot of young companies describing themselves not as brands, but as movements. Movements that sold yoga pants. Movements that sold electric toothbrushes. Movements that sold generic Viagra in discreet, unmarked packages so they wouldn't embarrass you in front of your doorman or neighbors. Movements that sold $188 serums that would jolt your aging face back to life. Thoughtlessly buying products was out. Joining movements was in. But you joined by buying the products. Why is it called The Stake? Ursula had asked Hannah at the time. You know, like Joan of Arc, and like so many witch trials throughout history. The stake was the site of punishment for women who asserted themselves, who dared to speak, to lead, to challenge authority, explained Hannah. This club is reclaiming the symbol of the stake. Today, it's a place where women gather to summon their strength and pool their power.
Rather than where they go to be publicly burned, clarified Ursula.
Exactly, said Hannah, flicking her pointer finger at Ursula to emphasize how correct she was. Do you want to hear the tagline? Ursula waited. A flame with ambition.
Clever, said Ursula, pretending to sneeze so that her condescension wouldn't hit Hannah directly in the face.
We also considered, be well, bitches, said Hannah. But a flame with ambition seemed more positive, more productive, less prescriptive. We don't want to tell women how to live. They're free to be well or not to be well, you know? It's okay to not be okay.
Of course, said Ursula. That was a good decision.